The following lecture was recorded Saturday, March 28, 1998, on the campus of the University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the 25th anniversary of the Sister Clara Muhammad School of Milwaukee. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
Well, peace. Peace be unto you. Our greeting is Assalamu Alaikum. We praise God. We witness that He is the Lord, sustainer of the worlds. He cherishes the universe. He cares for all of His creation, and especially His human creation. And we witness that Muhammad received the Quran. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, his name, Muhammad, son of Abdullah, received the Quran from God, the holy book, the sacred book of the Muslims, that he is the messenger prophet in the Quran. And God says of him that he is the one mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil, known today in these times as the Old Testament and the Gospel of the New Testament. And that he is the one who lifts the heavy yokes off the backs of the people and free them from the bands of slavery. And we understand that to mean, we who study the religion, the Quran, to know exactly what God is saying in reference to the Prophet Muhammad. And we understand that to mean that Muhammad is one that was promised to the people of faith, the religious community on this earth, of faithful people called Jews, Christians, promised as a liberator, and the liberation will come from the application, the knowledge and application of the revealed book, the Word of God. And history tells us that the Quran was given to scribes, given in the ears of the followers of Muhammad, peace be upon him, and given to scribes, and they wrote it down to preserve it on paper or in print, slates and whatever, stone, paper. And the people were told to memorize it. They memorized it. Prophet Muhammad is reported to have recited in one standing, the whole Quran, during one of the nights in Ramadan, the month of fast, the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. They were told to write it down, and we understand that in the history of this preaching of the Islam, there was an effort to bring up the level of literacy, because that was during a time called the Ignorant Age. We say Dark Ages, called the Ignorant Age in Islam, time before the coming of Muhammad, the Prophet, and the Quran, the book from God, called the Ignorant Age. And the people began to love reading and writing. And the message of the Quran appealed to the rational mind, to the intellect of a human being, to our power to think and reason. And the result was that in a short period of time, Muslims were changing the Dark Ages from Dark Ages to the age of enlightenment. very great institutions of learning soon popped up in Damascus, Syria, Baghdad, Iraq, and other places like Fez, Morocco, one of the old centers of Islamic studies and education. Cairo, Egypt, Timbuktu, used to be a center of learning in Africa. Timbuktu in Africa was a center of learning that attracted scholars from around the world, students and scholars. Spain, Cordoba, Spain, and many other places. In Cordoba, Spain, the government invited and welcomed and made feel comfortable Christians and Jews, many Jews. And they are learned people, worked with the learned people of the Muslims. And Spain realized a great civilization and a great culture that in the Dark Ages for them. And as a result of their devotion to education, academic devotion, enlightenment appeared all over the world eventually. Students of that history, they recognize that it was the effort of the Prophet and his followers in education that eventually sensitized the world again to highly value the human intellect and to promote excellence in education. This is history. So we have here a school, it's a Muslim school, and our resources are small. Financial resources are very small. We are poor, very poor. Many with our resources would never think of trying to have a school, not even a tutorial school at home. But we have this great interest in education as we believe education should be because we are Muslims and because we want to follow in the excellence of those who followed our Prophet and brought a respect for learning to a land that was called the land of ignorance. Al-Jahiliyyah is called, still called that. The pre-Islamic time is still called that. And Arabia was in what they called the Jahiliyyah period, the ignorant age, the ignorant period. So this is a sacred call for us to join you here tonight. It's a very sacred call to support your fundraiser for the Clara Muhammad School here in Milwaukee. And I want to thank myself as your representative, as your spokesman in this country. I want to thank all of those who are giving their support to the Clara Muhammad School here in Milwaukee, the Muslims and the friends of the Muslims are those who believe in what we are doing, that is going to help us and help our children to appreciate education and become better educated so we can become, as Muhammad said, more useful to the people that we live with and the people in this world. I have to say thank you myself as your leader to those who have given a grant to the Clare Muhammad School here in Milwaukee. I think it's Mr. Fleckenstein, if I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly, is sitting there. Your support to Clare Muhammad School here in Milwaukee excites us, and make us want to do more. I want to do more now for the school in Milwaukee because of the help it's getting from our dear supporter, Mr. Fleckenstein. Yes. So, God willing, we're going to work harder, and you're going to see some help coming from us here in Milwaukee. I'll share with you a few sayings of Muhammad the Prophet, our prophet, about knowledge and education. But first I'd like to say, give you something that is in the Quran, from the Quran, from the Holy Book, because everything the Prophet gave us is in the Holy Book. The Prophet did commentary on the Holy Scripture. The Prophet was the recipient of revelation. He's the prophet, the messenger of God. And he was also the teacher who taught us the revelation. He taught it to us, taught us the book. An answer to the book itself referring to him says he will purify them with God's agents, purifying agents. He will purify the people. That's his responsibility. That's all part of liberating them. We can't be liberated intellectually without being liberated first morally. So he was sent to purify us and to teach us the book, meaning the revelation, the Quran, and the logic, they translated, and the wisdom. But it means the rules of logic. To teach us, the word means the rules of logic. To teach us the book and the rules of logic. And God says of the book that the book is basic and allegorical. Basic and allegorical. The allegorical needs interpretation, and no one has the interpretation but God. This is the book. We told this in the book. And no one has the interpretation but God. Means if anyone gets the interpretation, they get the interpretation from God. God inspired them to see into it, and they get the interpretation. And the very word that is used for basic means that it is supported by the rules of logic. It's supported by the rules of logic that a human intellect was created to understand. Our intellect was created by God to understand this universe, the nature of this created world, this material world, which we are also in and of. We are of this material world, our flesh, our life, our biological life, etc. And God has created the human brain, this intellect, to digest that, to perceive that, to perceive it in its nature, in its laws, and in its nature, and in its service to mankind. We call science. This is science. Science. So man brain is created for science, to have science and to benefit from science. And Muhammad said of the brain, this is for the school, in the interest of the school, I'm saying these things. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said of the brain, says God never created anything more useful that we get more benefit from in our world than the human brain. And you can be also innocent, but if your brain is not alive and fed and used, you will remain innocent without automobiles, without the conveniences of, that we have in this modern industrial world, without advanced medicine, etc., etc., without mathematics, arithmetic, not to speak of algebra and geometry and trig and all the other stuff they have, log and all logarithms and all that, not to mention that high technology. We can't have that, no way to have that, except we use the brain. So when we look at all the conveniences and the creation that we have, God gave us that through the usefulness of the brain, through the brain, service of the brain, we got it. So I understand what the Prophet said, and I certainly appreciate that saying that God never created anything of more use to man and the society than the human brain, than the human brain. Now we know, as I said, if we are not morally strong, we can't expect the brain to serve us. The brain then will hurt us. People with great brains and bad morals will only hurt us, enslave us, mistreat us, corrupt us, take advantage of us, etc. So we know they work together. The moral condition is a condition for the progress of all the great utility that God put in the human being when he created us, for all the great expressions and benefits that come from us using our talents that God gave us. Muhammad, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, whoever goes out to seek knowledge to benefit others have entered, or has entered, yes, or come upon the path that leads to God. So in our religion, seeking to educate ourselves so that we can become a better service to humanity, that, and we are in humanity ourselves, our families, and our neighbors, our country, and the world. That anyone who seeks the knowledge, wanting to give it to others to see this world become a better world with better conditions for human beings, have entered or come upon a path that leads to God, takes us to God. That's what our Prophet said. And Allah says of knowledge, higher knowledge in the Quran, God says, and it's translated as science, not just higher knowledge, but science too, ilm, science, that God has made this world so that it is all connected and all connected and supported by knowledge, or we can say science, and rahmah, mercy, compassion. That's to keep our progress in knowledge or in the sciences respecting human beings, their life, their conditions they need. So sometimes the knowledge will tell us, pursue this course. You'll become powerful materially. pursue this course, you will become rich, wealthy, you will dominate the world. But if we keep the rahmah, the compassion, the concern for the life that God created for human beings, then we will say no to this advancement that we know is going to hurt the humanity in the long run, or soon. And we will discipline ourselves in our search for knowledge and our getting the use or benefit of the sciences and the knowledge. We will discipline ourselves and sacrifice, maybe even let another society or another system get stronger than us in warfare or in something else, because pursuing that course we know would be against the interests of human beings, as God wants us to have that interest. So the devotion to sciences, to education and sciences, must be with care for humanity, care for the conditions that humanity needs in order to have comfort and health and progress for their human life, their human form, their human nature, their human interests, their human concerns. So this is a great value that education had with us Muslims. Prophet Muhammad, he said, the most useful of you, the best of you, pardon me, the best of you is the one who is of most use to people, of the best, most use to society, the human society, all the society. And Nas means the whole human family on this earth. And he also said of education that it is our property. It is our property. It is our natural property. Education, science, higher knowledge is our natural property. And he didn't say it was the property of any human being. He said it was the property of the believer. The believer. How do we get this right now? To say that the sciences belong to us, it's the human property. How can we explain that? We can explain it with the Prophet's guidance, the Prophet's guidance to us. It's the property of a human being that believes in God, the creator of it. If you don't believe in the creator of it, God is the creator of the material world, the laws of matter, the sciences that we are able to acquire from the study of that matter, God is the creator of all of that. So if we believe in that God, and we believe in being faithful to that God, devoted to that God in worship with our services, our life and our services, then we are the lawful heirs and the lawful beneficiaries of this great universe and all the sciences that we can derive from the study of it, arrive at from the study of it. So this is the way to understand that, you know. So every human being, according to our religion, that respects the God that created this and want to serve that God, want to obey that God, is the owner of sciences. God get what God need with the sciences? The sciences are for us. God doesn't need the sciences. He created this world for us. He doesn't need the world. He created it for us. for the human beings that will serve him. I wish I had 1,000 lives I could live. Because I know just one devotion would require maybe 500 years. And that's travel. I love to travel. And to travel and learn all I've loved to learn about the people, different people on the face of this earth, their histories, their excellence, etc., in all the fields of human interest. Oh, it would take me many, many lifetimes, many, many centuries to do that. So you youngsters, you have years ahead of you. You have long time to study. And if you study and work hard to acquire all the useful knowledge you can, and mind you, the prophet also says that it is a loss, it's sinful, it's a loss to pursue knowledge with no intent to benefit humanity by it. With no intent to have humanity benefit by it or from it. You see, to seek knowledge for knowledge's sake is sinful in Islam. Just seek knowledge for knowledge's sake is sinful in Islam. Seek knowledge so that human beings will have what is necessary to give them a better existence, then that's the right way. And you do that, you're doing a religious act. In Islam, it is a religious act, deserving of great rewards from God. This is not, some of you youngsters may be doctors one day, medical doctors, a surgeon, whatever. In Islam, we believe, and I'm speaking the words of scholars, not just my words, and the scholars in Islam, we see the service of a doctor who cares about human life and respects the creation of God and the purpose that God created for human beings and things in the world that he made. If he tries to obey God with his service as a doctor, his service as a doctor is respected or viewed as devotions that we see in Salat, prayer, one praying to God, and one preaching the message of the Quran, a message of religion, or the message that God gave us. One doing that is no more worshiping God than the medical doctor who wants to obey God with his service, but he gives his service for help, to make people healthy, to cure them, to remove danger from their lives and misery and disease, etc., from their lives. He is doing worship. He's worshiping Allah, God, the Almighty, the one God. He's worshiping God with his medical knowledge and his hand and his skills as a surgeon or whatever. He's worshiping God. And there is no better service to God than to seek knowledge, education, so that human beings will benefit from it and conditions will be better for the human life that God created us for, to have. No better service. Muhammad the Prophet said that such people in the hereafter will be in planes or stations in the heavens, will be in stations next to the prophets themselves. So no one earns more respect than those people, other than prophets themselves. Moses and Jesus and Muhammad and Ibrahim, peace be upon them. They will be in ranks above those who will use knowledge to benefit human beings and make a better condition on this earth for human beings. We know that if knowledge hadn't been allowed to progress, if education hadn't advanced, we wouldn't have science and technology and all the benefits that we have. Civilization would not have been what it is. Only knowledge, the progress of knowledge, shows us the advancement, the true advancement, the true progress, the true advancement of civilization. Some of us may think of civilization only in terms of conquest and material benefits. But we know the educated never thinks of civilization in such terms only. We think of civilization in terms of how much progress has there been for the moral nature and rational life of man. Thank you. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-862-5228. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.